It's time for America Outdoors Radio, the show that covers the outdoor scene across the U.S. of A. and the entire continent. Fishing, hunting, conservation, outdoor recreation, and great destinations, we cover it all every week. It's your country, your outdoors. Let's explore it together with your host, John Cruz.
I don't know about you, but at my house, it's beginning to look a lot like Christmas. We've got snow on the ground outside of my home, and we've got the Christmas lights up, the Christmas trees up too, and we're starting to see some wrapped gifts pop up under that tree. I've got to tell you what, though, I already got the best Christmas gift ever. It's called a bass boat. It's a 2018 Nitro Z17 with only 17 hours on its Mercury outboard. It looks brand spanking new, and essentially, it is. My best friend, Rusty Johnson, and I went in on this boat together. It's something we've dreamed of doing for years now, and we actually got this Nitro out on the water earlier this week, and I've got to tell you, it is everything we hoped it would be. Our thanks goes out to our wives for letting us do this, and we can't wait to fish some bass and walleye tournaments out of this boat next spring. One thing we are getting used to are the marine electronics on this new boat. It's got a Humminbird Helix 7 on the console with both GPS and downscan imaging, and it's pretty impressive, but there's a bit of a learning curve with us. We're used to Lowrance fish finders, so we're having to learn a few things here. That's why I reached out to Daryl Gleason. I got to meet this Bassmaster Elite Series angler earlier this year at the Bassmaster Classic at Fort Worth, Texas, and it turns out Daryl is not only a really nice guy and a talented tournament angler, but also a bass fishing guide and marine electronics instructor based out of Toledo Bend Lake, a very fine bass lake on the border of Louisiana and Texas. We'll be talking to Daryl about all of these things just after the bottom of the hour, and you might want to sign up for his online marine electronics course after you hear from him too. It's something I'm doing. Someone else we'll talk to today is Matthew Every. He's the senior editor for Field & Stream. If you go to fieldandstream.com and check out the current edition, you're going to find a great article in there. The title is One Wild Ride, and it's all about a multi-week journey he took through a good swath of the United States last fall, hunting along the way for everything from grouse to pheasant to ducks and squirrel and deer and more. Matthew will tell you all about this awesome do-it-yourself expedition, and he's also going to tell you about the awesome rig he drove and lived in along the way. One other guest we'll chat with today is Jason Gilbert. He works in marketing for Winchester Ammunition, and he's going to introduce you to a brand new initiative meant to get more people from diverse backgrounds into the shooting sports. The program is called Shoot United, and I think you're going to find out it's a pretty exciting program that could well swell our ranks in both the shooting and hunting communities, which is a very good thing for both sports. Speaking of shooting and hunting, you'll be hard-pressed to buy a better gift for the hunter or shooter in your life than a rifle or shotgun from Henry Repeating Arms. But if you want to put a Henry under the tree for Christmas, you better hurry, because we're less than a week away from Christmas morning. Now, your first stop ought to be henryusa.com. When you get there, check out the authorized dealer list and give those dealers a call, because we all know firearms are in short supply right now around the country from all the manufacturers. So give that dealer a call, see if they have a Henry in stock, and when they do say yes, head on down there and check it out. Whether it be a shotgun or one of those great-looking lever-action rifles, the person you give this to is going to love the fact that it is rugged, that it's reliable, that it looks fantastic, and that it is made in America. Not only that, but every time they take that rifle or shotgun out to the range or out in the field hunting, they're going to think of you. And that's going to put a smile on your face and their face too. So go to henryusa.com, check out the dealer list, look at the 200 models available. If you have any questions, call the award-winning customer service staff, and don't forget to ask for your free catalog and decals too. That's henryusa.com. Put a Henry under the tree for Christmas. Next up on America Outdoors Radio, we've got Matthew Every on the line. He's a senior editor for Field & Stream, and if you check out the latest edition, the Drive issue of Field & Stream, you're going to find a fantastic article. It's called One Wild Ride, and Matthew essentially traveled a good portion of the East and the Midwest and the West in 2020, hunting along the way. Matthew, welcome to the show.
Hey, John. It's great to be here. Thanks for having me.
Well, I'll tell you what, you pretty much accomplished, I think, what just about any serious hunter would love to do, just traveling across the country and hunting along the way. And we're going to talk more about that in a few minutes. But right now, I want to focus on the rig you traveled in, because this was a really interesting rig to travel in. And we'll start off with the fact it was a Toyota Tacoma, but it just wasn't a Toyota Tacoma pickup truck with a canopy, was it?
No, we worked with a company called OK Four-Wheel Drive out of Stuartsville, New Jersey, and they're actually importers for a lot of overlanding products, and they specialize in setting up trucks for going just about anywhere. So this was one of their fleet vehicles, and they did everything from a full rebuild of the suspension system to a Alucab canopy camper, which is from South Africa, and it basically expands into a tent you can stand in the bed of the truck.
Let's go ahead and walk through this canopy camper. I mean, this was really, really cool, and it looked like the perfect overland vehicle. Had a lot of room for storage, too, it looked like.
It did, yeah. We had wraparound cabinets, and they're really sturdy drawers that you can put a lot of weight in. We also had a refrigerator and a freezer, which was great because we were able to, you know, freeze some birds and stuff that we shot along the way. And what's really cool is that there's a bed that drops down that you can actually put your bed up out of the way so you can kind of get dressed and walk around in the camper while you're getting ready for the day. And then if you want to convert it into a bedroom, you just drop the bed and go to sleep.
Oh, nice. And the pop-up tent up top, how stable was that, especially on a windy night?
It wasn't bad. I mean, we had it just about in all kinds of conditions. I mean, we took it from the east to the Colorado Rockies, and in Colorado, I slept through a bunch of snowstorms with it. You know, not big snowstorms for Colorado, but big snowstorms for me back in New York. And we had a little fireplace in there, too, which was great. Kept everything warm.
You actually had a fireplace inside the camper?
Yeah, so OK Four-Wheel Drive's come up with a way to take these little boating fireplaces that are run on propane and fit them inside of the Alucab campers, and it heats the whole thing up in a matter of minutes.
This sounds absolutely amazing. One more time with the name of the company. If you know the website for folks to check out, we really ought to steer them that way.
Yeah, so they're called OK Four-Wheel Drive, and their website is OK4WD.com.
Amazing, simply amazing. Now, you did this trip at the height of the COVID pandemic last year, so it was great that you were self-sufficient, to be sure. What were some of the challenges you faced trying to do this trip during that time?
You know, a lot of road trips, you know, the whole, it's about, you know, going to diners and local spots and things
right.
like that. And
right.
that was something that was kind of tricky on this trip for us. We actually had to kind of stay away from that. But what was great is that we were able to just take a lot of our, you know, take a lot of food with us and just go to grocery stores when we needed to and just kind of stay in and, you know, just kind of stay safe that way.
No, I think that's fantastic. You know, I want to really get into the hunt itself. One more question, though, before we do. Now, you traveled part of the way with your wife. Part of it was alone. What was the biggest challenge of being on the road for weeks at a time during the height of the COVID pandemic?
Oh, man, that's a good question. You know, my wife and I both love being on the road. It actually is a place that we actually have a travel trailer and we travel around, you know, quite a bit. And it's challenging. I think what's challenging is if you don't totally plan for where you're going and you're kind of scrambling to find a place to stay last minute. And that can be a tricky thing.
Especially during the COVID pandemic where everybody was camping and RVing and demand was through the roof. I can see that actually being a real problem. Folks, if you want to find out more about this awesome hunting road trip, check out the Drive edition of Field & Stream. That's the current edition. And look for the article One Wild Ride. And stick around. Matthew's going to tell you where he went hunting in just a minute.
We We've been telling you about Sportsman's Cove Lodge in Southeast Alaska for a while now, and there's a reason. They are the only Alaska lodge we talk about in this show. It's because they're truly Alaska's best lodge. The adventure starts with a float plane ride from Ketchikan, after which you'll get the chance to experience some of the best hospitality, food, and wonderful people you'll ever meet. Wildlife is abundant, from bears and deer to eagles and whales, and let's not forget the reason you're here, the fishing. Halibut, salmon, lingcod, rockfish, true cod, and more. It's all waiting for you in abundance at Sportsman's Cove Lodge. Book your trip today at alaskasbestlodge.com. That's alaskasbestlodge.com for Sportsman's Cove Lodge.
We love our children. We protect them. We guide them. We prepare them for life in the world. With all that we do from deep in our hearts, we cannot control all things. Life-threatening illnesses and disabilities affect far too many of our children each year. While we cannot change the circumstances, we can make dreams come true. Dreams to provide hope, to provide spiritual healing and strength, to provide moments of happiness and relief in the darkest of times. We can give a glimmer of light and hope in a time of darkness and despair. Join huntofalifetime.org to help make dreams come true, to provide hope for children with life-threatening illnesses and disabilities. Hunt of a Lifetime is a nonprofit organization fulfilling dreams for hunting and fishing trips to youth 21 and under with life-threatening illnesses and disabilities. Visit huntofalifetime.org to learn how you can make a difference. That's huntofalifetime.org.
Hunting and fishing are exercises in hope. Before you head into the woods, you hope to tag out on a deer you'll have to field dress. Before you make that first cast, you hope for a big fish to clean and fillet. When your hopes are realized, you'll need a sharp knife. Whether you sharpen that blade on a power sharpener in the shop or a manual sharpener in the field, WorkSharp has the tool for you. Look for WorkSharp products in sporting goods stores near you or online at WorkSharpTools.com.
You're back in with America Outdoors Radio, and we're also back in with Matthew Every, the senior editor of Field & Stream, who wrote a great article in the Drive edition, that's the current one, called One Wild Ride, where he went with his wife in a tricked-out Toyota Tacoma and hunted his way across a good portion of the United States last year. Matthew, thanks for sticking around.
Thanks, John.
So let's talk about how you came up with this idea and how much planning went into it before you hit the road.
So yeah, my wife and I just kind of wanted to get out of the house and travel. And she's also, this is kind of her first time hunting. So I thought it'd be a good way to introduce her to hunting just by going to see a variety of different species in different places. And we also had some friends we wanted to visit along the way. So with our drive issue coming up, we were talking a lot about, you know, how we could do this big road trip. And we wanted to bring an overlanding component into it. So we worked with OK Four Wheel Drive to put the trip together and kind of set our sights on Colorado and decided to hit every place in between.
Now, were any of these trips, quote-unquote, guided trips, or were they all pretty much do-it-yourself, either by yourself or with friends that were along the way?
They were mostly with friends along the way, because I think a big part about being on the road is the people that you meet out there. And so we were, you know, we had a lot of friends all over the country, and we were able to, you know, link up with them for a lot of these hunts and kind of see some of their favorite spots to go hunting, which was great.
Let's talk about your first hunt. Now, you're from New York. It was a grouse hunting trip and a woodcock trip. Was this your wife's first hunt?
It was. It was actually up in Michigan, just below the UP, and linked up with some hunters that I know from New York, you know, David Gritsky, Larry Giordano, and a guy named Dan Canedo who lives in Michigan. And it was Eva's first hunt. She was shooting a lot of photos for that one, but she had a chance to see the dogs work, and she loves dogs. So I think she's definitely turned into an upland hunter.
Now, when did she finally bag an animal on a hunt?
She shot a pheasant in Minnesota, and we were in this big group of people, and it got kind of sucked up by the crowd, you know. So, but she did hit a pheasant in Minnesota.
And that was, what, on the opening day of the season? That had to be bedlam.
It was. I mean, one thing we really wanted to do for the trip was to get an opening day.
Right.
And to be around on an opening day. And I think that pheasant hunting was a great way to show that. You know, you look out over the landscape and you just see little dots of orange everywhere in the cornfields. And I really wanted to have that moment.
Let's talk a little bit about duck hunting. I understood you got to enjoy some of that in Wisconsin.
Yeah. Yeah, we did. We linked up with Outdoor Life editor-in-chief Alex Robinson. You know, he took us to some great spots, and Eve and I spent a morning just by ourselves hunting ducks for the first time. Well, for her, for the first time.
I always thought Alex was from, well, I know he lives in New York, you know, because of his position. Is he from Wisconsin?
Yeah, he's right on the Minnesota-Wisconsin border.
I'll be darned. And I guess I have to ask, how did that duck hunt go?
It was funny. So we were going to hunt wood ducks, and we had seen some the night before. There weren't a lot of ducks in the area, but we got kind of lost on the way in. And I ended up having to get out of the boat to retrieve a paddle and almost lost the boat and then got back into the boat. But we ended up finally getting to a spot where we could hunt. And then the whole morning we just got skunked. And one of the last things Alex said was, if you guys can shoot a mallard, I'd be really, really proud of you guys. And right when we were about to leave, my wife Eva looked up, and she said, there's two ducks coming. She looked up and pointed at two ducks, and sure enough, one was a Drake mallard, and we bagged it and headed back.
You got to love a happy ending. That is a great story there. I understood you also got to hook up with Will Brantley. He's one of my favorite guests. What kind of hunting did you do with him?
We did some squirrel hunting down around his camp, and it was great because I hunt squirrels back home, so it was nice to see how Will likes to hunt squirrels.
I presume you did it with 22s, or were you using 410 shotguns?
22s.
Nice. Very nice. And I guess I should ask, what kind of squirrels do you hunt in Kentucky?
I believe they have fox squirrels, but we just got a bunch of gray squirrels.
That's what I was wondering, whether it was the red fox squirrels or the gray squirrels. So nice to know that they're both there. And how do they eat? I have not had squirrel before, but I understand they can actually be delicious.
They are. They're one of my favorites. Yeah, slow cook them in stews, or, you know, a lot of slow cooking recipes are good to do with a squirrel.
All right. I'm getting hungry already. So we've covered squirrel and woodcock and grouse and pheasant and duck. And I guess we better talk about deer, especially whitetails. You did some of that. How'd it go?
The whitetail hunting was tricky. We hunted in Tennessee on a patch of public land down there and just didn't see a lot of deer. I saw one doe while I was down there and couldn't get a shot on her.
Just about all of your trips occurred on public land, didn't they?
Yeah, just about all of them. I mean, with the exception of one or two, in one of our pheasant hunts, we did hunt a patch of private land, but most of our trips were all on public land.
And that's what I love about the whole concept of this article and about this journey is that what you did, anybody can do, and that's the treasure we have with public land here in America and public land hunting. One last hunt we have to talk about, and that's the one in Colorado.
Sure.
Because you didn't tag out, but somebody else did, and I thought it made for a great ending for the story.
Yeah, that was a great day. I started up the mountain, and this other gentleman and his son showed up, and we ended up kind of hiking up together, but they separated, and next thing I know, I heard a shot on the way up, and sure enough, I looked over and kind of glassed down, and I saw they were both pointing and shooting at something up on the mountain. So I kind of made my way down to them, and the guy signaled me over, and I said, can I join you guys? And he said, yeah, come on, let's go. So we ended up taking a nice mule deer and, you know, helped them pack it out and kind of got their story. They were two hunters from Utah, and it was just a great day.
Well, and it was a father-son hunt, too, which I thought was great. How old was that young man?
He was 13.
Oh, and folks, when you check out this article, you're going to see that buck, and you're going to see that father and son, and there's a great photo of them there. Again, great way to wrap up this hunt. How many miles did you cover all together during this expedition?
We zigzagged around a lot, and I think all told, we covered about 5,000 miles, maybe even a little bit more.
Well, Matthew, congratulations on making a hunter's dream come true. And again, folks, this is the sort of thing you can do too. You know, take a few weeks and plan some hunts in other states and really immerse yourself into the hunting heritage that America has to offer. And if you want some inspiration for that, check out the Drive edition of Field and Stream. Check out Matthew's article, One Wild Ride. It certainly was a wild ride and a wonderful one too. Matthew, thank you for sharing this story with us today on America Outdoors Radio.
Thanks, John.
In other news, we've got an update on a story we brought you last week when we talked to Brian Lynn from the Sportsman's Alliance. As you may recall, in Washington State, the Fish and Wildlife Commission did not approve a recommended spring bear hunt, a hunt that's been going on every year since 1999. One of the big reasons this hunt wasn't approved was because two of Governor Jay Inslee's recent appointees to the commission appear to be very much pro-predator and anti-hunting. This was exhibited not only during this vote, but also during a meeting about the status of the elk herd in the Blue Mountains bordering Oregon and Washington, which is at a 30-year low. And one of the commissioners in particular, Dr. Fred Kuntz, whose background comes from working at zoos, dismissed the low numbers of the elk and suggested that the state just manage the elk herd as a lower number elk herd, reducing hunting opportunity and ignoring the fact that predators killed 70% of the 125 elk calves that were collared this spring. We do have a piece of good news. Dr. Kuntz submitted his resignation last weekend and is no longer on the commission after receiving lots and lots of pushback from outdoors media as well as hunters and anglers across the state. Here's hoping Governor Inslee makes a wiser choice for his next appointee to the commission, and that appointee might actually be a hunter and an angler.
Country hunters and anglers, you may have heard of us, but what are we about? BHA is the voice for your wild public lands, waters, and wildlife. From national-level policy work to boots-on-the-ground projects like public land cleanups, we work across North America to uphold the legacy of our public lands and waters, as well as your opportunity to hunt, fish, and recreate on them. Stand up for public lands and waters and become a BHA member today. Visit backcountryhunters.org.
Why book at Sportsman's Cove Lodge?
Why is Alaska like no other place on Earth? It hasn't changed in thousands of years.
From the way you get here on a float plane to the way you go out with the guides and the boats, it's just a professional experience.
And I said, this is as good as it gets. I said, if you can't catch fish here, you can't catch fish anywhere.
Your experience with us will leave you speechless.
Book now at alaskasbestlodge.com. Welcome back to America Outdoors Radio. Our next stop is taking us to the border of Louisiana and Texas. That's where we're checking in with Daryl Gleason. He is a fishing guide. He's an instructor. He's also a Bassmaster Elite Series angler. Daryl, great to have you back on the air.
Yeah, John, appreciate you having me as always. It's always a good time to catch up and chat with you.
I know that you're getting ready for the tournament season, but when you're not fishing tournaments, you actually offer some guided bass fishing. Why don't you tell our listeners what lakes you're fishing on?
Yeah, so I've been doing the guided thing for almost 10 years now, I believe. But I guide primarily on Toledo Bend and Sam Rayburn. I live on Toledo Bend on the Louisiana side. And can't say, you know, what a blessing it was to be around these two special lakes, to be able to learn myself. And now through the years, you know, helping other folks, both instructional, like on the water classes, but also just getting people out chasing their personal best or the most fish they've ever caught in a day. It's just a really, really special place I live in this part of the country with these two lakes, you know, so close to each other.
I was going to ask that very question in terms of the people that book trips with you, whether they're doing so to learn to be a better bass fisherman or they're thinking, well, I'm going out with a real pro. We're going to catch a whole bunch of bass.
I still get a little of both, to be honest, but I would say, you know, as I've transitioned to more of the professional side of the fishing tournaments and stuff and being on the road as much as I am now, it seems like more of my trips now when I get home aren't always at the peak times to go chase those, you know, world-class large fish. So we're always on the road during the spring, for right. example, when we would generally do that. So it has seemed like the last several years, more of my trips now are more instructional-based or tournament tactic, or even we transition now, I'd say the last 6 or 7 years, honestly, for me, it's been all about teaching people how to utilize your electronics. You know, that's not a cheap piece of equipment. And, you know, hiring a guide and getting like a leg up is kind of like a cheap investment, a way to like get ahead of the game and save yourself some time when you've purchased those electronics. So I still get both, though, when we are available in the spring, you know, and other key times of the year. Like, I'm still getting a lot of those trophy trips. I'd say that's kind of what I was known for early on in my guide career, was putting people on their biggest fish, or at least chasing those biggest fish, depending on the season. With me tournament fishing so much and not just guiding, you know, we're trained to always go hunt the biggest fish. And so, yeah, it's been a great career, man, and I don't take it for granted. I love it.
Let's talk a little bit about you as an instructor when it comes to marine electronics. Now, prior to COVID, you were actually offering on-the-water lessons. Basically, people spend $400, and either one or two people, you know, you and your fishing buddy, were most of these on-the-water trips, you hopping on their boat and helping them set up their electronics and maximizing it?
So the way I do it, and I think everyone does it different, there are a lot of guys that jump in someone's boat, go out with them. For me personally, I take them out in my boat because I know what my equipment is telling me. I spend all my time in my boat, and I know what it's telling me exactly. So I like to take them out in my boat, show them what we're looking for, show them how to target fish, show them all those things. And usually at the end of the trip, what I do is I'll either, if they brought their boat along, I'll jump in with them, set their stuff up, and then even maybe just idle around for a quick 20, 30 minutes just to show them. But typically, I've done a few of those things where I get in someone's boat, and they may have, you know, like a bad transducer or some little issue, technical issue, that we can't fix that day, and then they kind of waste their day.
Right.
So I'd rather them come with me, learn from my equipment, learn what I'm looking at, and then I'll try to help them best to translate into their electronics that they have on their boat.
Now, when COVID came up, that put a real crimp in your on-the-water classes, not to mention the fact you're on the tournament trail. So you've actually transitioned to some online classes. You're actually taking enrollments now as well. Tell our listeners more about this program.
Yeah, so with us being on the road as much as me and my wife are, you know, this next year we're actually be traveling like 10 months because we're doing the Bassmaster Elite Series and the Bassmaster Opens. You know, as a business person, you're always trying to figure out how to transition things and make things, you know, work for you. And missing out on all those guide days, I wanted to find a way to still be able to work with people and help people, and for me to be able to recoup some of that lost income of not being home so often. And so we come up with this online deal, me and my wife. I have to give her most of the credit. It's mostly her. She does all the hard work. But, yeah, we do. We do a new class each month, and the classes vary on everything about electronics from mapping to reading 2D sonar and side-scan sonar and down-scan sonar, and to even now utilizing the forward sonar, Lowrance Active Target. So it's been fun. I have a really cool group of guys. I actually try to keep it to, like, a reasonable number that I can manage because a lot of the guys have one-on-one questions. And so a lot of times after our class, a couple times a year, we'll get in a little private Facebook group that I have created. And that's kind of like our classroom where they can ask questions, they can show me pictures. So it's been a fun thing. It's kind of evolving, you know, as, you know, most of your listeners probably know, electronics are always changing, fishing's always changing. And so it's fun for me. I kind of get to tap back into my old teacher roots from my prior career and also get to teach people, you know, just, again, how to utilize the equipment that a lot of them already have spent money on, but folks that don't have as much time as I have available to me to go out and learn this stuff, it's just trying to shorten that learning curve from them to where they can get comfortable and gain confidence so that they can then utilize their electronics better.
And Darrell, I'll tell you what, one thing I love about this, and I'll be honest, I'm probably going to be signing up right after this interview. It's only $99. That gets you the monthly online courses. That gives you the monthly one-on-ones. And I love the bonus 101 features that are included too. And that includes some videos, folks, on setting up your marine electronics, how to go ahead and utilize a down scan, how to go ahead and utilize a side scan. I mean, we've got two fish finders, and we kind of just hunt and peck on YouTube looking for little hints on how to do things. To have this really dedicated instruction, I have no doubt it's going to make me a better fisherman and a lot more comfortable in using my marine electronics to actually find fish and do what it's supposed to do.
Yeah, and for me, that's what it's been all about. Whether I was in the boat with somebody or actually utilizing this class and talking with the guys, it's honestly just about cutting down that learning curve for anglers, getting them more confident in how to utilize their electronics, because we all started out the same way. We spend this money, we get these great electronics, and then we're like, okay, now the fish should come to us. And that's not the reality of any aspect of fishing. You have to go out and learn. You have to figure out your way. And so what I'm trying to do is just kind of give guys a little kick in the rear end in the right direction, because it's so easy to get intimidated or to get frustrated, honestly, when you get out on the water, you're on your own, and you're struggling. You know, we all tend to go back to our old habits and we quit moving forward. And that's what this is all about for me. It's just trying to help the individual angler have access to the things I've learned in my time fishing Toledo Bend and Sam Rayburn. And now as I travel the country as well, I'm trying to show the guys how I've utilized my electronics and how, as things change and new things come out, how I'm implementing them into my game. And it's been a great success, man. A lot of the guys in the class, you know, have sent me a lot of great messages. And I have everyone in the class from the novice to the tournament anglers to, you know, high school captains taking their kids out, and they're relaying this message down to the kids. So for me, it's been fun. It's been something I've really enjoyed, and I plan on continuing into this next season.
We've got about 30 seconds left to talk about the upcoming season on the Bassmaster Elite Series and the Opens. Are any of the tournaments going to be on your home lakes at Sam Rayburn or Toledo Bend?
We actually do have a Bassmaster Open in the fall over at Sam Rayburn. So that'll be fun. It's always fun to be able to compete in your home. Toledo Bend is where I've spent more of my time, but Sam Rayburn's only an hour away, and anytime I get a chance over there, I'm excited to go. We've had some good success over there the last few years, and that's one to be highlighted on the calendar for sure.
Well, not only that, you get to sleep in your own bed, and that's always got to be a nice thing on the tournament trail.
Absolutely.
All right, Daryl, we are going to let you go, but thanks for sharing all of this. And folks, again, you might want to sign up, like I'm going to, for these marine electronics classes. Looks like a great way to really up your fishing game. Daryl, have yourself a merry little Christmas, and we'll talk to you again in the new year.
Yeah, John, you as well. Thanks always, man.
This portion of the show is brought to you by our friends at Worksharp. And if you are stumped as to what to give somebody you care about for Christmas, you can't go wrong with a knife sharpener. After all, just about everybody owns one, whether we're talking about hunting knives or pocket knives or cutlery in the kitchen or maybe knives and tools that you have out in the shop. Well, Worksharp has got just the right sharpener for you. Everything from the pocket knife sharpener that is a fantastic stocking stuffer, two, the combo sharpener, which is great in the kitchen. That's where I keep mine. And don't forget the Mark II and Ken Onion Edition knife and tool sharpeners. Both of these are powered knife sharpeners. They both use abrasive belts, and they will put a nice edge on any knife and tool you have. Look for Worksharp knife sharpeners at sporting goods stores near you. Also, hardware stores and wrench and home stores, too. Worksharp. They've got some great products, and you're definitely going to make somebody happy for Christmas if you give them something from Worksharp.
Campers, adventure seekers, hunters, and foodies. No matter the lifestyle, we can all agree on one thing. Great food and great people are worth remembering. At Camp Chef, we don't just make grills. We create each product knowing that a warm meal is always better when it's shared with those we love. Learn more about Camp Chef grills, smokers, and portable cooking equipment at campchef.com. That's campchef.com for a better way to cook outdoors.
Looking for the perfect gift for the hunter or shooter in your life? Give them a Henry. These American-made lever-action guns shoot straight and have a classic Western look. Choose from a .22 caliber Henry for plinking, a heavier caliber for hunting, or even a shotgun for birds and small game. Better still, these guns come in all sorts of finishes, covering everything from use in the field or on the range to showing off the best-looking firearm in your zip code. Henry rifles and shotguns come with a lifetime guarantee. And if you help need deciding what Henry is right for you, just ask. The award-winning customer service team at henryusa.com will be happy to help you out. So, go to henryusa.com and order a free catalog and holiday gift guide. Then, find what you like, look for a dealer near you, and get a gift that will put a real smile on someone's face this holiday season. Start searching for your Henry now at henryusa.com. That's henryusa.com.
Come explore the Dalles in Oregon for outdoors fun. Hike amongst the wildflowers, bike our riverfront trail, or visit the Gorge Discovery Center where you can enjoy a live raptor display, or even check out our National Neon Sign Museum. But don't forget the fishing. We've got salmon, steelhead, bass, walleye, and monster-sized sturgeon waiting just for you. When the day is done, tell those tall tales at one of our wineries, breweries, or restaurants, and plan your next adventure. Find out more at explorethedalles.com.
Hey, how'd the meeting go with Tommy's school counselor today?
Well, not exactly as planned. I think we need help.
Help? Why do we need help?
Well, I asked her about paying for college, and she said that's not something they do.
Hmm. Maybe it is time to get some help. Even if Tommy just goes to state college, it's going to cost at least $25,000 a year. We'll have to raid our retirement, pay for Tommy's tuition. There's got to be a better way.
There is a better way. A way where you can pay less for college or even receive college tuition free, regardless of your income or your students' grades. A way for you to keep your hard-earned income and savings for your future and spend less on college while virtually eliminating the need for student loans. Get the facts about college admissions and tuition by going to tuitionprograms.org. That's tuitionprograms.org. tuitionprograms.org. Get the facts about college admissions and tuition by going to tuitionprograms.org.
Next up on America Outdoors Radio, the shooting sports and hunting. We're always trying to get more people involved, and thanks to the pandemic, I think we're seeing some more people get involved, but it's time to take another step in that direction, and that's why there's a new initiative coming out. It's called Shoot United, and with us here to tell you more about it is Jason Gilbertson. He's the Director of Marketing for Winchester Ammunition. Jason, welcome to the show.
Hi, how are you? Thanks for having me.
You know, I'm doing fantastic. Before we get in the details about this new initiative, Shoot United, let's talk about the state of shooting sports and hunting across America. How many people, give or take, participate in both these days?
Yeah, so, you know, it's been interesting over the last couple of years. We've really seen a really solid increase in the number of people who have taken part in the shooting sports. I think, you know, now they're throwing numbers out there, you know, more than 60 million actually participate in the target shooting sports. You know, hunting, you know, numbers have generally fluctuated over 10 million, over 12 million. So those are some big numbers. The target shooting sports, though, I mean, just people who are out there shooting clay targets or going to the range with their pistol just has really, really increased. And we've seen that across the board.
Well, I'm certainly seeing it in the small town where I live. It's called Cashmere. It's in central Washington. They've got a trap club. And every week, rain or shine, even when it's snowing, you're hearing shotguns going off. They have a turkey shoot every year. And man, oh man, there's like 200 people that showed up this year compared to about 60 the first time I showed up. So there's definitely a lot more participation. I guess that's a silver lining of the pandemic. So this is great news. But it, as always, we want to get more people involved. And your campaign, how's it going to do that? And who are you targeting?
Yeah, you know, and you bring up good points for sure. Other things we've noticed, I mean, especially like among youth and people who maybe have not typically grown up even with like a background in firearm ownership at all, you know, they're really starting to gravitate towards the shooting sports. And there's a number of reasons why. You know, first off, you know, being with family, being with friends, being outdoors, you know, it's just a fun activity. You know, you can do it for recreation, you can do it for competition. You know, we've just seen so much interest in being outdoors, and obviously with Shoot United, there's a lot of people in the country who do not shoot, who do not own a firearm. And so with Shoot United, we're really trying to target as many of those people as possible. We know that that's a very tall task and hard to do, but you know, just thinking about how to reach them, how to communicate, what information is helpful. You know, one thing, just going at it at your own pace. If you are someone who's interested in owning a firearm, there's a lot of research that is good to do before you get involved, before you buy a gun, before you go to a range. So Shoot United is really out there just to help people along in the journey of getting involved and participating more.
So the platform for Shoot United, is it going to be in-person events or is it going to be digital media like YouTube and Facebook, that sort of thing?
Sure. So a little bit of both. What we're really excited about, you know, multiple things with Shoot United. We have a lot of great content and there are a lot of sites out there that offer great content. Shoot United will be in addition to those. But, you know, we have some very good information on the website, shootunited.com. We have social channels where people can follow along. We will certainly be putting together in-person events in 2022 and beyond where people can invite others to come out to a range, maybe experience shooting at different levels, of course. So whether you're interested in rimfire or pistol or shotgun sports, you know, we'll definitely want to include a lot of variety there so people just have an opportunity to learn. So there's certainly that element of it, the in-person component, which we think is really important, right? Just actually getting out to a range or to an environment where they can be around people who have knowledge and experience.
One of the biggest challenges of getting people into the shooting sports and into hunting in general is reaching different races, reaching different ethnic groups, reaching people who live in urban areas and don't have access to a little small town, you know, range like I have here in ag country. So is Shoot United going to make efforts to reach these people too to get them into the sport?
Yeah, absolutely. And that's one thing we're very excited about. The number of ranges that are in more urban areas, it's quite remarkable, to be honest with you. So a lot of indoor pistol ranges have popped up over the last 5 to 10 years in areas that are pretty convenient for people to access. And that's one thing, too. You go to Shoot United, there's going to be a where to shoot. There's different ranges out there that are probably closer to your home than you're aware of. And, you know, they're very welcoming. So a lot of these ranges have obviously seen the explosion of participation themselves. And so they've gotten creative, too. You know, they have ladies night on a Friday night, or they try to come up with creative ways to make it fun for people to visit their range. So Shoot United will be very focused on those areas for sure, because, again, you want to make it accessible and easy for people to get started. And I think when you start focusing on those areas and you just use those ranges to communicate, I think you're going to see some benefits there.
All right. We didn't even get to the whole safety component in terms of making sure people are handling firearms safely. That's part of the campaign, too. We're out of time, so one last question. Where can folks find out more about this Shoot United initiative?
Yeah, absolutely. So shootunited.com is going to be the best resource. So start there, and clearly we're here to answer any questions. You can write in or sign up for the e-newsletter that we'll be putting out. So shootunited.com.
ShootUnited.com, that's the website to go to. Get somebody you know involved in the shooting sports. You won't regret it, and either will they. Thanks for sharing this with us today, Jason, on America Outdoors Radio.
Thank you.
In other news, are you looking to buy a boat in the new year? I know I just bought one, a 2018 Nitro Z17 bass boat that my lifelong fishing partner, Rusty Johnston, and I went in on together. And if you are looking to do the same, you might want to visit a boat show this winter. Boat show season kicks off in January, and here's a few taking place around the country you might want to attend. The first one is the Portland Boat Show. It's at the Expo Center in Portland, Oregon, January 12th to the 16th. You can find out more about that one at pdxboatshow.com. The Progressive Insurance Minneapolis Boat Show is going to happen January 20th through the 23rd. And at the same time, the St. Petersburg Power and Sailboat Show will be taking place in Florida, too. Right after that, the Progressive Insurance Louisville Boat RV and Sports Show will happen on January 26th through the 30th. And don't forget the Progressive Insurance New York Boat Show. That one's taking place January 26th through the 30th, too. The shows in New York, Louisville, St. Petersburg, and Minneapolis are all being put on by the National Marine Manufacturers Association, and you can find out more information about these events at nmma.org. That's nmma.org, and that Portland, Oregon Boat Show again, that website, pdxboatshow.com. On the Sportsman Show side of the house, I can report I'll be exhibiting at both the Washington Sportsman Show at the Fairgrounds in Puyallup in Western Washington from February 2nd through the 6th, and I'll also be at the huge Pacific Northwest Sportsman Show. This is the second biggest sportsman show in the entire nation. I'll be there from February 16th through the 20th, along with several hundred other exhibitors. This one is also at the Expo Center in Portland, Oregon. These are new dates for both these shows designed to not interfere with the NFL playoffs and Super Bowl that oh so many of us love to watch, and I'm thrilled to tell you
that we will be giving away a Henry Golden Boy rifle at each of these shows to one lucky attendee who drops by our booth and texts the fine folks at Henry Repeating Arms for a chance to win. We'll give you more details about this giveaway and about these shows in the weeks to come, but in the meantime, feel free to find more information about both of these shows at otshows.com. That's the website for O'Loughlin Trade Shows, otshows.com. As we wrap things up, I think it's fair to tell you that you're going to hear a best of edition on Christmas weekend because I'm going to be spending some quality time with my family. You'll also be hearing a best of edition on New Year's Day. But right after that, we will be back with all sorts of new audio for you, looking forward in particular to a conversation with Pete Glusick with Bass University. If you want to resolve to be a better bass angler, Bass University is something you definitely want to check out. In the meantime, here is wishing you a very Merry Christmas. I hope that you get to spend some time with family and friends. I hope that you have some wonderful fellowship too. I hope that you have good health as we round out this year. And I also hope that you'll take some time to reflect on the meaning of Christmas, the true meaning of Christmas. That, of course, is the birth of Jesus Christ, our Savior, born in the little town of Bethlehem on a cold winter's night. Until next time, do take care, God bless, and once again, have yourself a very Merry Christmas.